Gracious God, we are grateful for your presence with us this day. And we pray for your touch, your word, to come alive in our lives. So free us from the things that may be clouding our minds so that we can hear your word tailor-made for this. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, let's see. We are finishing up this sermon series on the ripple effect. What ripple effect are you making? And what impact is that effect making in the lives of others? So I would invite you to take out your sermon notes if you'd like to follow along with me, and to use these as a way of helping to reinforce this message. Maybe you'll share it at a meal later today or this week, and think about some of the things that we're talking about in this scripture. So, how many of you would agree that most people do not achieve their full potential? What do you think? Most? All right. How about this one? The more aggressive you are, the further you will get in life. What do you think? Agree? Disagree? What about politics? Just wondering. How about this? More is better than less. You agree or disagree? More is better than less. Someone at the 8:15 said, what about more love? It's interesting. How about this? We won't do them all. You can tell if someone is sincere or not. Do you agree with that? Disagree. Okay. This thing flipped all the way through. And finally, most people do not believe they can truly make a difference in the world. Do you agree with that? Disagree? Interesting. So this passage that we're looking at this morning is an interesting one. Here David is giving some commands to some of the folks that are going to help worship, especially with the ark, and some very specific things that we're called to do, and I believe that we continue to be called to do the following. For instance, we're to give thanks to the Lord or give praise. That word means literally it has to do with hands and worship. And you and I are called to give thanks to the Lord. And this week, we're already hearing things that we're thankful for. And throughout the week, I would invite you to share those blessings that you have with other people. And to share those blessings with God as well as thinking about things that you feel blessed. We're told to continue to sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wonderful works. And we heard the choir sing a beautiful anthem, and yet at the same point, all of us are part of this choir that we make up to worship God, and so we're invited to sing. And just like we sang Jennifer's new hymn that she wrote, and letting that melody fill our lives and think about the ways that we can make an impact on other people. We're told to glory in the in his holy name, to let the hearts of those rejoice, those who seek the Lord rejoice. And here we have this command to seek the Lord. And finally, to seek the Lord and his strength. You and I are called to seek the Lord. And how do we do that? So we're going to look at some of those different things, especially as we look at how we can make a difference in the lives of others. Do you really believe that you can make a difference? And what does that look like? You know, we know the big things, don't we? Those people that have helped to make a big difference with our world or with science or discovery, whatever that might be. But sometimes we can make a ripple effect that has a way to inspire someone following to make that big leap. Bishop Milton is one of those individuals. In fact, he lived a number of years ago. He wanted to be a pastor, served in the United Brethren denomination, had an impact on people. But what was interesting is he was fascinated with life, and someone who believed that he was a learner and wanted to learn more about God's creation, and took a special interest in birds. And so he filled his library with a number of books at that time. One of those was one of these books on birds, a treatise on terrestrial and aerial locomotion. And that was in his library. Well, what was interesting is that his son, in the summer of 1889, his 25-year-old son, contracted a fever, and it turned into delirium, and he almost died. He would recover, but it would take weeks, long weeks, of restoration for his health. His brother Will sat with him through his recovery, and eventually they went from the hospital to his home, and they would spend the days looking at their father's expansive study with all these different books. And they brought out this book, A Treatise on Terrestrial and Aerial Locomotion. And they were fascinated by it. And so much that Wilbur and Orville thought about dreaming about flight and what that would look like. And in fact, there's records that you can Google that show their interest in books on birds and flight that they requested of the Smithsonian. Just the impact that their father had on their life. In fact, Orville wrote later that in life that they were lucky enough to grow up in a home environment where there was always much encouragement to children to pursue intellectual interests and to investigate whatever aroused curiosity. You know, part of what we're about is to seek God and to try to figure out why we're here and what we should be doing in life. And you and I are here to seek after truth and to seek after God's wisdom. There's no alumni association in Christianity. We don't just arrive, but we're always learning more about what it means to follow Jesus Christ and how we live that out. And so, fortunately, Bishop Milton instilled in their children, in his children, this same curiosity with life and to think about life in broader terms. And it's that sort of upbringing that I believed helped make a ripple effect that helped Wilbur and Orville be able to dream about flying like birds. Who knows the impact, the ripple effect that we can make? I know we have teachers here, and I think about the impact that they make on their students. And we know that the way that someone makes an impact on life, someone who invested in who we are. That's why I love it that our church is involved with helping children read over at Reynolds Elementary. You know, one of the nice things about that is we never know what that impact might make on someone in the future. Maybe it helps them read right now, which is terrific. But just knowing that someone took time each week to spend with them to help them learn how to read, they might want to do that in the future when they have that opportunity as an adult. Or someone investing in our Wells Middle School as a mentor of one of our young people in our community. Again, who knows what the ripple effect is? You and I have an ability and have gifts and talents and resources and dreams and passion to make a difference. And hopefully that ripple effect is in a positive way. See, I do believe our actions do make ripple effects. In fact, many of you probably noticed that after the Astros, we lost, you know, I was there with them. lost that seventh game, and it was a tough game, right, of the World Series. And so I asked our office folks if they could put on the sign, you know, tough game, tough week, open Sundays, Astros proud. You know, just to say, you know what, we're still behind you. And we are. And yet at the same point, then when you find out about accusations about cheating and other things like that, you're going, oh, they can't do that. These are my Astros. They're awesome. Jose Altuve's adorable. How do you not like these people, right? Can have a negative impact, the choices that we make. And, you know, normally, you know, when you talk about it, well, all teams cheat. Well, that's a great defense, isn't it? The ripple effects our choices, our decisions can make in positive and in negative ways. I think one of the things that each of us, especially as we're coming to an end on this ripple effect series, is to think about what are we doing? What's the effect that our lives, our decisions are making, either on immediate family or in our neighborhood or in our community? They make a difference, especially as people look at us and look at some of these decisions that we make. Maybe you're concerned about our country, you know, and especially how it seems like how polarized we are. And the challenges, especially as I look at going, you know, not one party is right and the other is wrong, but how do we use what we have to helpfully work together on some of these issues? And we are very, very polarized. So when I see things of how a positive story, I have to tell you, I'm inspired by them. And I came across an interesting true life event that occurred about how I think someone who was trying to seek after God made an impact with the community. Let me say this about seeking after God. We are just finished in our men's 6:30 Bible study on Tuesday mornings, studying the passage of Scripture in James where it says, draw near to God and God will draw near to you. And, you know, theologically, we believe God is present everywhere, right? Omnipresent. It's not like God moved, but there are times that when we take steps closer to God, I believe that we've experienced that in our lives. And so the question is, well, how do you draw closer to God? Well, I would say to try to study God's Word, and maybe for some it's reading the Bible daily or going to a Bible study or being intentional about nourishing your soul. I think that's one way to draw closer to God, and God honors that in ways that we can learn from God's Word. But it's as we anticipate coming into the Advent season, that's one of our hopes and dreams, that you would grow closer to God during this season when we're trying to be intentional about how we prepare for God's coming into the world and into our lives. So I would encourage you during Advent to take that next step on your faith journey. I also believe ways that we draw closer to God are ways that we share God's love and God's compassion with others. And I think that's what moved me when I came across this story. And let's go ahead, Robert, and skip all the way to the video. And,
this is just one of the key plays that Sherman High School senior Gage Smith made at their game against West Mesquite on Friday. But it's what Smith did after the game that most people remember.
When you're playing the game, you're playing to win, and the other team is the enemy. But afterwards, you know, you still have the respect for the other opponent.
Smith says he knows West Mesquite player Ty Jordan from a select 7-on-7 team they both played on. Jordan's mom is battling cancer, and Smith asked to pray with him after the game.
Just had a moment with him, praying over him, his mom, and his family.
Smith says in that moment, it wasn't about the score or being opponents. It was about showing compassion. Jordan's aunt posted the pictures to Facebook, expressing how much the gesture meant to their family. So far, it has over 100,000 shares.
To see that it blew up, I was very surprised by it, and I wasn't expecting it to be like that. You know, it was just doing it for him and doing it for his mom and his family.
Sherman football coach J.D. Martinez says Smith has been a team leader on and off the field.
He's a true leader, and he has compassion, and I think it follows through for a lot of our guys on our team.
Martinez says his wife happened to capture the special moment, and she sent the pictures to Smith's mom, who passed them on to Jordan's family.
Pretty special that kind of everybody gets to see really what he is. He's that type of kid all the time. It's just not in front of the cameras or anything like that. He's like that every day.
Football brings people together in so many different ways, and that was just one example of it that night.
In fact, his mother commented just the impact that it had in a tough situation. And she said it could be a word, a prayer, a kind word, a hug, especially when you know somebody is going through something. That's like the best thing that you can do for a person. What ripple effect are you making? Will you pray with me? How about silently say a prayer of thanksgiving for someone who has made an impact on you? And silently ask God to help you share God's love, God's compassion in a tangible way this week. Lord, we are grateful for your love that touches us in different ways, especially for the ways that people who have shared your love and compassion with us, help us to be your instruments of grace and love with others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So our affirmation of faith comes from Colossians chapter 3. Let's stand and affirm what we believe together. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Please be seated. You and I have been blessed to be a blessing. Think about the ways you can share God's blessings with others.
Dear Lord of great giving, we come before you with abundant thanksgiving. Bless our gifts as we offer them to you this day of wonder and joy. Amen.